all bad things.
Tragedies, disasters. Bad things.
Trigger warning for everything possible.
What?
I'm Rachel.
And I'm David.
And this is All Bad Things.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
You can follow us on Insta, X, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitch at All Bad Things Pod. Email us at allbadthingspod@gmail.com. Join our Facebook discussion group, our subreddit, and our Discord.
Do all of those things. Did you mention Threads?
No, I haven't been mentioning Threads or Blue Sky. We're on both.
Oh.
Oh no, now I have to add two more things. Insta, X, Facebook, TikTok, Twitch, Blue Sky, and Threads.
I mean, I think all we have to say at this point is any social media app. We're pretty on much. Them all. At All Bad Things Pod.
We are not on... Was it Truth Social?
Or we are not on that. Only like 100,000 people are on that. So that's Donald Trump's.
And you can bet they're the worst 100,000 people God,
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
Except for Hitler, because he's dead.
The funniest thing about that app, because there have been plenty of people that like tested, like beta tested it, mm-hmm. and like actually got through when it launched.
Mm-hmm.
If you criticize Trump on that app at all, you're gone. I'm dead serious.
Free speech. Free yes. speech. Oh,
no. It's hysterical. Hysterical.
Oh my god.
Well, anywho.
Deep subject, don't fall in.
Nah.
Well, get it?
Nah.
It's a well.
Yeah.
Deep subject.
Yes,
yeah.
I gotcha.
So, I gave you a couple hints about today's episode.
You specifically said Herkimer, New York, which is where I spent my small stint in college.
Mm-hmm.
I
learned where Herkimer was. During the research of this
episode. So I'm guessing it's a snowstorm, like a blizzard.
Okay. But what was my other hint? Do you remember I kind of gave it to you on our when we were walking?
You did. Now I don't remember what it was.
You were saying something about like how, well, we need a new public works program, a new civil and Corps of Engineers. So
okay.
And I said, because, you know, you were saying that our infrastructure really needs a lot of work. And I said, hint.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
A dam collapsing? I don't know.
You're on the right trackish.
Trackish.
This is the story of the Schoharie Bridge collapse.
Oh, okay. Schoharie, huh?
Schoharie. Wow.
We're getting into...
You know from Schoharie?
I think I've been through it, like driven through it like once or twice. Yeah, this is central New York.
Yes, it is. Very central New York.
This is fucking...
Herkimer's just down the road.
It is. Not too far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is in the sticks, though. This is,
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. On April 5th, 1987, the Schoharie Creek Bridge on the New York Thruway near Fort Hunter, New York, collapsed, killing 10 people.
No shit.
Yep. Now, this is a hybrid listener script, which I have done before. Basically, sometimes it's kind of helpful to flesh out a few things on a shorter listener-submitted script. That does not mean that there was anything wrong with the script that was submitted, right? Or if that you are a listener who submits a script and I do a hybrid like this, it doesn't mean you didn't do a great job on it. It's just kind of filling it out to be more of an average-ish length episode. Otherwise, we might end up with like a 10-15 minute episode, which is fine, but you know us, we're prone to talking. So
just a wee bit.
And on these scripts, you can assume, this is what you should assume, that the listener did the heavy lifting. They did the listening.
You guys are doing the heavy listening. Yes, now go to sleep.
That if you like anything in the script, it's the listener. If you don't like anything in the script, it's me. Right? Just assume that.
Sure.
Assume that. So this script was done by Jay, who introduces themselves here. I'm reading it verbatim. Beep, bop, boop. I'm Jay. Started listening in 2020, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That sounds
okay.
Right. Anyway, basically within a day or two of starting to listen, I was like, hey, you know, it would be a cool episode. And then 2 years later, y'all haven't done it. So here you go. apologies to Jay that this was sent in 2 years ago, because now it's been 4 years.
I was going to say it's been 4 years now. And now we know. Now the audience knows how long we've been holding on to Jay's script.
Yes, unfortunately. I'm so sorry, Jay.
Are you even listening anymore?
I don't know. But please reach out if you are,
if you
Jay.
Are, yes, let us know. Or if somebody knows Jay.
Yes. This is the I-90 Schoharie Bridge Collapse of 1987, and Jay helpfully provided the pronunciation as Schoharie.
Yeah, there's
I probably would have said Schoharie.
Yeah, there's some interesting named towns, cities, areas in central New York.
We kind of talked about that a bit in the Woodstock episode. Mm-hmm. Woodstock 99 episode.
Yes. Well, it was held in New York for all three Woodstocks. We talked about all three. Mm-hmm. And just a different town each time.
Right. So primary sources for this one were the Albany Times-Union, the Daily Gazette, How Stuff Works, Interesting Engineering, the New York Times, Syracuse.com, and Wikipedia.
Eh?
Oh, yeah. Do you say Albany or Albany?
Albany.
Albany. Yeah, I do too. Okay. This first portion, I did title this. I'll take credit for this. It's called Off On Your Way, Hit the Open Road.
Okay.
Do you know what that's from?
Uh-uh.
Off on your way, hit the open road. There is magic at your fingers.
What?
Spirit of Radio.
Oh, that's... Trash. I was like, I'm like, why can I not think of the name of the song? Like, I'm singing
Can you
it.
Tell that's my Geddy Lee voice? For the spirit ever lingers and demanding contact in your head, the solitude.
Saw them in Greensboro in 2009, 10?
Never saw them. I could have, and
the only time I did.
Yeah, and no more Neil Peart, so.
No, so, one of the original trio is gone.
Yes. Did you know that Geddy Lee's real first name is Gary?
Yeah, that makes sense.
His grandmother, I think, in her heavy Canadian accent, used to pronounce it as Geddy.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from. And I guess he just went with it. I guess Geddy Lee is better than Gary Lee. Also, there are other Garys in music. There aren't other Geddys in music.
No, I don't think so.
So there's that. All right. So we're going to go back quite a ways to kind of lead up to this topic. And this is the kind of stuff, this is the research that I did, right? Just kind of fleshing out some, you guys know I love a deep dive, so.
Mm-hmm.
I deep dove.
You dove. You've diven.
Uh-huh. But it's because there's an interesting part that there is an interesting part of history I wanted to cover, and we've mentioned it, the idea of why America decided to invest in the automobile as the dominant mode of transportation. A lot of other developed nations have invested a lot more in public transportation and rail, but outside of a few large cities, the U.S. pretty much went all in on cars.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that reason was a man who was heavily invested in the idea of quality roadways as a form of defense,
It had to have been Eisenhower.
Yes, yeah. Dwight D. Eisenhower. So, mini dive on Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh.
Eisenhower overcame a dangerous leg infection in his leg as a high school freshman to eventually become a student at the U.S. Naval Academy.
Oh, okay.
He was...
Makes sense. He was the... Literally the Allied commander.
Yes, Supreme Commander. Yes. We'll get to that in just one second.
Which is insane.
Mm-hmm. He entered college as a 21-year-old. So he was a bit of a delayed start on college.
Plus, going to college in like traditional years back then was a little different.
Yeah, this is literally like 1911.
I was going to say, we're talking about like the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people who go to college is vastly... smaller percentage-wise back then.
Yes.
It's like 15 to 20% or something like
much
that.
Much smaller than it is
So
now.
Going to college at that 100 years ago was somewhat like exclusive just on its own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He played football at the academy. He once missed a tackle against another cameo from one of our other episodes, one Jim Thorpe. Eisenhower graduated in 1915 along 58 other... fellow future U.S. military generals.
Wow.
So they called the class of 1915, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, the class the stars fell on.
I've never heard that, no. Yeah. But it's, I mean, yeah.
58 generals.
So what do we got? 25. So 26 years after they all graduate, mm-hmm. like World War II for us is going to start.
Right. So it makes sense that they would have risen in the ranks at that point. At the, like, it's more the timing.
And at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Eisenhower's wartime military service began in World War I when the then Army Lieutenant Colonel Eisenhower participated in the 1919 Motor Transport Corps convoy across, I had never heard of this before, a cross-country road trip from D.C. to the San Francisco Bay Area. So completely clear across the country. Now, this is in 1919.
and Eisenhower does this.
Yeah, yes. He's one of the people.
I've heard this story.
Yeah, he not that he's like leading it necessarily, no. He's participating in it. Yeah, he's one of the people involved. But in 1919, cars aren't what they are now.
No, not even close.
No vehicles are what they are now, and roads are nothing like they are now. So the idea of driving a convoy of these like old cars across not much road, over 3,000 miles or 4,800 kilometers.
Fucking long time.
It's daunting. So it's a trip that would now take a modern driver 42 hours of driving.
Sure. About. Yeah. That makes sense.
Took the convoy 62 days.
Oh my God.
To complete. Now, to be fair, they did stop deliberately frequently to repair bridges along the way.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, that took a lot of time.
That's not something I'm going to do on my cross-country trip.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's it. And they also, like did local events, you know, parades, picnics, little rah-rah.
Picnics.
You know, da 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 da, stars and stripes and little, you know what,
and
I'm cigar, doing, right?
Little cigars and
mini
pipes.
Mini flags and all that. And also, there wasn't much going on in 1919 other than flu to do back at home. So,
jeez, that's true.
But the fact that there were almost no paved roads between Illinois and Nevada sure didn't help the timing on that. The experience stuck with Eisenhower, who, by the time World War II rolled around, was the supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe. Serving in the European theater, he observed the Reichsautobahn.
Mm-hmm.
Long considered a Nazi invention, the German motorway system was actually conceived and begun just prior to Hitler's rise. But of course, Hitler had no problem co-opting it, taking credit for it.
No way.
Nor did he have any qualms about using concentration camp prisoners to build it.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah.
Yes, lots of enslaved and then exploited labor to build it. Though the Autobahn had underachieved in its total planned mileage throughout the war, it was still a much more extensive road system than the U.S. had, a fact that General Eisenhower certainly took note of. He became convinced that a proper defense system required a proper road system.
And also, you've got to think, the United States is 3,000 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
Germany is not close to that. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea.
Yes.
That mattered. And again, you'll probably mention it, but it's for the concept behind both was to be able to easily move
transport troops
from one side of the country to the next if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
That's why 40 and 90, there are like three or four highways that go completely across and three or four highways that go completely
north to south.
40 goes from East Coast to West Coast.
Uh-huh.
So you can starts in Wilmington and ends in
Carlsbad or something?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you're leaving Wilmington, it has it on the sign.
The beginning of 40.
But yes, you can take Interstate 40 all the way to the coast of California.
We've talked about doing that one day.
Yeah, I think I want to.
It'd be cool.
A lot of cities in between.
Sure are.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to take a little bit of a sidestep to a sort of a contemporary leader. And so we're going to pop over to post-World War II New York State.
Okay.
Plans are being drawn up for a superhighway that will connect New York City to Albany, the state capital, and then continue west to connect most of the other major cities in the state, Utica, Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo. Talks to build this roadway started basically immediately after the war. The first reference to the thruway in the New York Times was in January 1946.
I was going to say, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it's known as the thruway.
Yes, the thruway. Yeah, I think I've said I.
You just no,
oh,
you
I just
did.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, it's called the thruway. The thruway's champion was Thomas E. Dewey. who served as governor of New York from 1943 to 1954. Dewey, a Republican, ran for president in 1944. Obviously, he lost to the very popular FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He remained the governor, continued making the moves to make the thruway a reality. Dewey went back and forth on whether the thruway would be fully publicly funded or if it would be a toll road. And in the end, the tolls won out, though they were intended to be temporary until the bonds on them were paid back. We'll get back to that later. In July 1946, Dewey ceremoniously broke ground for the thruway in Liverpool, on the outskirts of Syracuse.
Where I have an aunt and uncle that still live there.
Is that where we went when we visited? No.
We went somewhere different.
Okay. But I just remember it was a little bit of a schlep when we drove to your aunt and uncle's house, but I couldn't remember. This is Dewey on the on that side.
Okay.
Breaking ground.
Breaking ground, yep.
Dewey. It's an old-timey, old-timey photo.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Indeed. So at the time, the project was projected to cost $202 million. Those are 1940s dollars.
I'm going to guess it's over a billion now.
$3.2 billion dollars today.
Holy shit.
Also, I just wanted to mention for our general interest purposes, considering family used to be there, Dewey did another groundbreaking in Victor, New York, when they were getting ready to build there.
Yes.
As the project continued, so did Dewey's aspirations for a higher office. With Roosevelt well out of the race in 1948 due to his death, Dewey gave it another run, going up against incumbent Harry S. Truman, though only as, because Truman was only the incumbent because he was VP under FDR, but Truman was actually considered the underdog in this election.
Yes, that is true.
His constituency was thought to be at least partially undermined by a racist fracturing of the Democratic Party, led by truly one of the evil people in history, who is fortunately dead, one Strom Thurmond.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Who was running as a third party candidate, that party being the
Dixiecrats.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Dixiecrats' primary position was opposing Truman's efforts to integrate the U.S. military. So basically, they were the devil. Fuck Dixiecrats. Just flat out fuck Dixiecrats.
Who'd have known this would be their last time they ran a presidential candidate?
Yeah. So the idea was there's going to be... But this is the fucking Democratic Party, so...
Well, the Democratic Party is already starting to change into what it is now. Right. I mean, people...
The parties are flip-flopping now.
Well, people on the right will say, well, they didn't flip-flop. It's like, no, it didn't happen. Like, it happened over the course of a couple decades. But this was one of the moments...
The ideologies did flip.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this was one of the moments where... You could see the Democrats were going to go in the more liberal sense because the Dixiecrats, who were the conservatives.
The racist assholes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Broke off. And then they were just like, and after the Civil Rights Act, they're like, you know what? We're just going to go to the Republicans who welcomed them with open arms.
Uh-huh.
So everybody thinks that like, oh, it happened that night. Right, it switched. Right. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
That was a culmination of 30 or 40 years of of liberal policies, which is what the Democrats were passing.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, I mean, that's how it happens.
Yep.
Parties switch sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So because of this Democratic infighting, Dewey was so heavily favored in polling that they stopped polling in September of 1948. Because they were just like, he's winning.
Right.
Period. And we're done. This led to an infamous gaffe by the Chicago Tribune, who put out the early edition headline, Dewey defeats Truman. There's a really famous picture of Truman holding up the paper and laughing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had to get the scoop early, you see.
Turns out Truman had beat out both Dewey and Thurmond in both the popular vote and the Electoral College, and so Dewey stayed in office in New York. So the first leg of the New York State Thruway, which ran from Utica to Rochester, opened in 1954. So that by this point, so this is like 8 years after the groundbreaking, remember it was originally supposed to cost $202 million, now the projections were up to $962
million,
which is about $11 billion today. Also by this point, Dewey's previous victor, Truman, was out of office, He dropped out of the race early in the primaries in 1952. He said, quote, "I have served my country long and I think effectively and honestly." Because he could have run one more time.
Sure.
Because when you are the VP who becomes the president, that doesn't count as one of your terms.
No, it does not.
So really, you could be, if he had run again, he could have been president for almost 12 years. Like, almost as long as FDR, basically. Truman's successor was, of course...
Oh, it was Eisenhower.
Yep.
Yeah. I like Ike.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he beat Adlai Stevenson. And while the country had decided that they liked Ike, Ike had long ago decided, as we discussed, that he liked highways.
Mm-hmm.
And Ike was very happy with Dewey's efforts in the Thruway, calling it, quote, "a major advance in the national campaign for better roads," end quote. At this point, the Thruway preceded Eisenhower's own interstate initiative.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until June 1956 that he signed the legislation funding the brand new United States interstate highway system. And this is the legislation why we now have over 47,000 miles or 75,000 kilometers of federal highway in the United States.
Socialists.
I know, right? What small government? What do our tax dollars do? Do you like driving?
Yeah.
Because you know what? Conservatives really like driving.
We're kind of forced to in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yep. After the Thruway's first leg opened, a toll ticket was printed in the New York Times showing the eventual route from Spring Valley, which is just north of the New Jersey state line, a little west of the Hudson River, to Buffalo. At that time, the cost of the full route was listed at $5,
okay,
which is about $58 today.
Okay, yeah, sounds about right.
Today, the same route costs, any guess?
$32. Oh, okay,
with,
well, that's
good. With bill by mail and 18 with I an easy pass.
I thought that would have been, okay.
I know, so... The tolls did not keep pace with inflation.
No, I guess not.
So it's actually effectively gone down in that time.
The other thing is, too, and the Thruway and the interstate would connect each other, which kept New York State as a huge industrial boon for a long time, because not only was the whole state connected with each other, New York State was connected with the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. It connects on the east side with, like, 90 or
yes.
something?
Yep.
And... 287 or some other highway I saw. I didn't really get into that because we could have gotten into the geography of highways and then I really would have lost everybody.
Yeah, what are we talking about again? Oh, bridge collapse. Yes.
But it makes sense that they started with tolls at the very least to try and make up. I mean, they spent like $11 billion on this thing. But as you may recall, based on what I said just a little bit ago, the tolls were supposed to stop once the bonds used to finance the road had been paid off, but that happened in 1966, and at no point have tolls stopped.
No.
A fact which has been much bemoaned over the years, although, as we just learned, the toll sure went down, like, effectively. We did drive on the Thruway, as I recall, because I remember that ticket that they give you, because it's not fully automated.
No.
Or at least it wasn't. This was like 8 years ago. I don't know if it's changed since then.
Yeah, it definitely was not then. Yeah. It probably isn't still. I'm not sure.
Anyway, it was interesting to see that ticket. I'm like, the system's really, at least back when we were there, really hadn't changed much.
No.
So. By the end of 1960, the entire Thruway was open for travelers. There were going to be other offshoots, other portions that were added throughout the years. But just the basic concept of the Thruway had been done by 1960. So now let's talk about Schoharie. Yeah. Traveling along the Thruway, a little west of Albany, is a village and county both named Schoharie. But this is not actually where our story takes place. Rather, the bridge is named for the body of water it crosses, the Schoharie Creek.
Hmm.
The bridge in question is located to the north of Schoharie, just south of where the creek meets the Mohawk River. The river is so named because of the area's longstanding primary indigenous tribe, the Mohawk people, as well as others who comprise the Haudenosaunee. Do you know that word?
I do not.
Also the Iroquois Confederacy. They go by both names, apparently. The name Schoharie comes from the word Tuas gohar, which means driftwood, because it's normal for large piles of driftwood to accumulate in the creek. The thruway runs alongside the Mohawk River for nearly the river's total length, 149 miles or 240 kilometers. The Mohawk is the Hudson River's largest tributary, and in turn, Schoharie Creek is the largest tributary of the Mohawk. In fact, across this full length, the thruway only crosses the Mohawk once in the aptly named town of Mohawk, near Utica, which is shout out to Mohawk, the hometown of David's stepfather.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And Greg Jarvis.
And I was going to say, and an
astronaut aboard the Challenger.
A Challenger astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Which we have mentioned in our Challengers episode. Challenger episodes.
And they were only 2 years apart. They knew each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. But let us turn back to Schoharie Creek and its ill-fated bridge. Though Schoharie Creek is actually a pretty small creek, it has long been prone to flooding. Bridges have been built and washed away multiple times over the years. An aqueduct was built in 1842, but that got damaged by major flooding too. And you were talking about, because when I mentioned Herkimer, you said that that was in a valley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
is Mohawk. This is known as like the Mohawk Valley, actually. So, yes.
So it makes sense that obviously rain is a big factor in flooding, but in this part of the country, snowmelt is a big part.
I just remember it, even not during the winter, I just remember it always just being wet.
Really? Like, just that area?
I just had that. It just always looked like it was going to rain.
Like the water just always settled in the area. Well, there are places like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that absolutely. When the Thruway Project finally came along in the 1900s, the Schoharie Creek Bridge was one of many to be designed and built along the new highway's route. The engineering firms Madigan Highland and Pavlo Engineers designed the Schoharie Bridge, as well as many other Thruway bridges. The bridge was designed in accordance with the 1949 edition of the American Association of State Highway Officials, or ASHTO, standard specifications for highway bridges. Part of these standards called for a thorough study of the body of water the bridge was meant to span, including water flow, and any conditions that were likely to affect the safety of the bridge. Unfortunately, the engineering team conducted only a limited hydraulic review in the process of the design. Of course, had they done even some cursory digging, they would have quickly learned of the creek's troubling history of flooding and its catastrophic results to previously built bridges. Regardless, the bridge design was approved in 1952, and construction began the following year. The bridge was designed in five spans, so five sections, between 100 and 120 feet, or about 30 to 36 meters, for a total length of 540 feet, or about 165 meters, and a total width of just over 112 feet, or 34 meters. And here is kind of just a little schematic to reference.
Okay.
The bridge was supported by four piers, two on the banks of the creek, and two in shallow areas of the creek. The bridge opened to the public in 1954, with a partial opening that summer and the bridge in full operation by October. So October 54. Problems with the Schoharie Bridge were almost immediate.
Yeah.
Cracks started forming in the plinths, which is the part of the bridge that supported the piers, so like the underpinnings kind of. These cracks were evident by the spring of 1955, and the bridge was further damaged by a flood in October of that year. Additional problems were found, including problems with the drainage system and slab settling. To address the problems, in 1957, the four piers were reinforced to compensate for the high tensile strength that caused the cracks, and to prevent more from forming. For the next 30 years, the Schoharie Creek Bridge served admirably, until it didn't. So as I'm sure David is well aware, that would be you, winter in the state of New York can linger well into and beyond March.
Oh, yeah.
Spring flooding is common throughout March and April, so that's happening right now probably, caused by both spring rains and snowmelt. On April 3rd and 4th, over 6 inches of rain fell and combined with the snowmelt. By Sunday, April 5th, This was causing some major problems for the Schoharie Creek Bridge. Witnesses would later estimate that the creek, normally only about 6 feet or 2 meters deep, had swollen to about 25 feet deep, or about 7.5 meters.
That's, yeah. That's nuts. That's
quadruple.
That's not sustainable.
No,
As we're about to find out.
Around 10:45 a.m. local time, the third pier of the bridge washed out, collapsed, causing the third and fourth span of the bridge to just fall directly into the creek.
God damn.
Even though by this time an average of 15,000 vehicles crossed the Schoharie Creek Bridge every day, there were only 2 vehicles on the bridge at the time.
Oh, wow. Lucky.
Well, yeah, not for the people, yeah. Yes. One car and one tractor trailer, and both immediately fell into the river 84 feet or 25.6 meters below.
Jesus.
So that's the main thing is, there is no surviving.
No.
A fall from that height, let alone in a vehicle. So.
Today in a car, it's a slight possibility if your airbags go off. Like, it could happen.
No, the car crushes on impact.
I'll show
you some pictures.
It is 84 feet we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and water is very hard because of surface tension once you get past a certain height. Before the bridge could be blocked off, 3 more cars drove over the edge. So a total of 4, 1 tractor trailer and 4 cars.
Oh, fuck. Geez.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
That is the worst nightmare of driving.
Some people have big fears of bridges.
Sure.
And not unfounded.
Yeah.
This
is not the only time.
It is not. We've talked about when there's higher casualties.
Yeah.
Even. About half a mile away, a photographer named Sid Brown, who worked for the Daily Gazette out of Schenectady, was taking pictures on Route 5S. He heard the initial collapse, describing it as a rumbling sound, quote, like rocks rolling down a hill, end quote. And you can imagine that sound. He went over to the bridge and was there in time to take pictures of the second pier falling, which happened about an hour and a half later, and it caused the second span to collapse. For the record, he took pictures and didn't help because he didn't see any vehicles around the bridge at the time. He wasn't being an asshole.
No.
He was, yeah. And then here is, this is the picture he took, because you can see it is literally falling at the time.
That is, holy fuck.
Yeah.
That is a ways down.
Mm-hmm.
A very long
ways down.
That would have been terrifying.
Yes, to say the least. Yeah. Another witness to the second part of the collapse, a local named William Yurkovets, who lived near the bridge, said, quote, it sounded like a bomb going off. You saw dust all coming up and everything, end quote. But yeah, I'm sure it was like an explosion.
Bridges are pretty big.
Yes.
And
yes, that's correct.
All that, all that concrete, all that rebar, all that, all that shit's gonna, it's amazing just how it just, if it falls from enough of a distance, it just fucking crumbles.
It just disintegrates.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A total of about 400 feet or 122 meters of Schoharie Creek Bridge collapsed that morning. The subsequent investigation, which we'll get to in a second, noted that the second part of the collapse, that of Pier 2, may have been caused by the wreckage of the already collapsed sections affecting the flow and velocity of the river. So it's like a domino effect. 10 people and 5 vehicles died as a result of the bridge collapse. The victims were a married couple named Douglas and Evangelina Shive. Douglas was 68, Evangelina was 70. Hmm. They had moved to Manchester, New Hampshire several years before the disaster, and they were traveling back to their old hometown in Texas. Shriners, Jackson Dalton, 65, a retired veterinarian from Mississauga, Ontario. And Roland Charbonneau, 61, a World War II veteran and, sadly, ironically, a former bridge demolition expert in the Canadian Army of Etobicoke, Ontario. Do you know that town?
Anyway. I do not.
Jackson and Roland were traveling back home to Ontario from a Shriners convention they had attended in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
3 Niagara Mohawk Power Corp employees who were driving home from a bowling tournament. They were Donald Hughes, 59, of Defreetsville, New York, a building supervisor, Eddie Meyer, 50, of Albany, a gas mechanic, and Robert Hoffman, 46, also of Defreetsville, and a service rep. And now these remaining three people were the people who were on the bridge at the time of the collapse initially. Sure,
okay.
Mary Louise Peck, 47, of Northumberland, New York, and her 22-year-old daughter, Kristen Peck. Mm. The two were driving to a baby shower.
Ugh.
Kristen was a SUNY Cobleskill and Cornell University alum who had studied animal science.
A sister and a cousin that went to each one. Or no, Cortland.
I was going to say, I didn't know anyone in your family.
Sometimes it sounds the same to me, like Cornell and Cortland.
I gotcha.
But they are two very different schools.
Cornell, ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it? Here comes trouble.
And then John Ninham, 39, of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yeah. He was the tractor-trailer driver. He was hauling wood pulp.
So there you go. That explains our throughway interstate.
Yeah, like all the places it goes, yeah. Because
he's on his way to Green Bay.
Yes.
And he's literally in...
In New York.
Yes, in central New York.
Uh-huh. The first rescuers on the scene retrieved 3 bodies and spotted a 4th, but they feared there were more.
Yeah.
Rescue attempts were hampered by the floodwaters and rain, but a total of 9 bodies had been recovered within the following 3 weeks, some as far away as about 50 miles or 80 kilometers downstream of the bridge. Mm-hmm. The only body not recovered by that point was that of Eddie Meyer. Over 2 years later, in July of 1989, a body was recovered from the Mohawk River. While it was badly decomposed, the police were able to use descriptions of Eddie's clothing, as well as his keys and key ring found on the body to identify Eddie's remains. And they were like, this is as close as we're going to get to identifying him, because there was no other ability to identify. Here are some other terrifying pictures of the actual collapse.
And this isn't really all that long ago. I mean, it's
30.
Yeah, I mean, that's 7 true.
7 years ago.
That's true. The 80s is a long time
but
ago.
But you were
now.
10 at the
I
time.
I was alive, know? Fully alive.
Your mom might remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. You can tell how tall the bridge is because of the trees next to it. That's what gives away its height.
Mm-hmm. Here's some more. And you can see what happened to the cars.
Yeah, they're just freaking, like, crushed. Yeah, like pancake. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's nothing left.
Mm-hmm. And here's some more. And that's another car.
Mm. Oh, man.
So that's the thing. They were flattened.
Yeah.
Basically.
Not compacted. Surviving that.
No, there was not any surviving. Even in a modern car, that's not going to help you. So what happened? Because a bridge doesn't collapse every day, thankfully. It's still too often when it does happen.
I'm going to preface that with a yet.
The National
apparently we have 1,000 train derailments every year,
right?
Which we didn't realize until last
year.
So
seriously.
Yeah.
The National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, immediately launched into an investigation. 15 days after the collapse, divers found evidence of water erosion on 3 of the 4 bridge piers, which ultimately caused the spans above to shift and give way. The cause was determined to be threefold: an improper design, subpar construction, and insufficient maintenance.
I want to say that those are the same 3 things that caused the bridge collapse in the Twin
Minnesota.
Cities in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't build it right from the start.
That's the thing.
And then
build it wrong, and then don't maintain
And because they didn't build it right from the start is why they had to constantly maintain it.
Right.
Whereas, and then one day.
Yep. The design did not account for the possibility of higher than average floods, the second of which was the death knell for the bridge.
Sure.
Which, again, if you've just done some history on the creek, you'd know. Like, literally, dozens of other bridges had been washed out in the 1800s because of it.
Yeah.
The aqueduct that they tried to build was destroyed. Like, this was information available if you researched it.
Yeah.
They didn't research it.
All you needed was a farmer's almanac.
a library card. Additionally, the bridge supports had concrete footings dug only 6 feet into the riverbed, when the builders should have driven piles all the way down to the bedrock below.
Yeah.
Foundation.
Yeah.
The NTSB investigation concluded that the probable cause of the collapse was a failure to maintain the riprap, which is a fun word, around the footings. So riprap is rock placed to protect against water erosion, right? The 1955 flood disrupted the original layer of riprap around the bridge footings. I literally said all that before. Did I?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I'm confusing myself. All right, around the bridge footings. This was, so far as investigators were able to conclude, not replaced after the 1955 floods. So when they were doing their repairs after those initial floods, they didn't fix that. Add another 29 years of snowmelt and spring rains, and, well, water erosion seems obvious, doesn't it? Though the level of rains in 1987 were pretty historic, and what would become an ill-timed dam release just added to the rush of water, inundating the bridge. Finally, the NTSB also found fault with the New York State Thruway Authority's bridge inspection program and inadequate oversight by the New York State Department of Transportation. In 1986, so the year before the collapse, an inspector graded the Schoharie Creek Bridge as a 6 on a 7-point scale, but the inspector had been unable to examine the piers due to high water levels caused by, you guessed it, spring rain and snowmelt. He noted it in his report, but there was no follow-up investigation or inspection made.
Mm.
14 months after the Schoharie Bridge collapse, an investigation was conducted by the Federal Highway Administration. The investigation found that 2/3 of the bridges in New York were deficient, the highest percentage in the entire United States. As a result, the state government took over inspection of all bridges, not just on those owned by the Thruway Authority, but also bridges owned by local governments. The conversation about the United States' decaying highway bridges was much larger in the days following the collapse. The FHA reported to Congress that it would cost an estimated $50.8 billion, which is now about $158 billion, to repair all of the defects in the over 575,000 highway bridges in the nation.
Shouldn't that come out of our defense budget?
I hear that a good road system is crucial to defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
In fact, one, can we please salute Sir General Dwight D. Eisenhower, former president, honorable sir, was very convinced that that was crucial to a defense. I think it is only right that we carry forth the torch of this Republican leader's vision.
Yeah. I mean, the fact, I mean, this is like, remember a friend of ours telling us when he lived in Louisiana, this one bridge was like literally like falling apart. Yes. And they couldn't get funding for it.
It would flood and people would just leave their cars routinely.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's just like, how irresponsible is that? Like, I mean, really?
Beyond irresponsible, it's like derelict, negligent.
Yes.
Like,
almost, yes, on purpose.
Murderous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because it will.
It will
kill somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we've discussed, as I said, we've discussed this in previous episodes, but the aging of U.S. highway infrastructure has never ceased being a concern. So this could happen to any of us.
Well, it was supposed to last 30 to 40 years. This is about 30 years.
Yeah, it lasted that long, and we've not done anything
since. And we're
on
almost 70 years.
Yep. It's horrific. As a result of the collapse, the Federal Highway Administration made underwater inspections of bridges routine. The New York State Department of Transportation does regular inspections of bridges now every 2 years and sends a diver out to inspect underwater portions of bridges at least once every 5 years. A replacement bridge was completed for Schoharie Creek and opened to travelers the following year in May 1988. This replacement is the same bridge that still crosses Schoharie Creek to this day.
Let's see.
This is the current Schoharie Creek Bridge. Okay. Still damn high.
Yep.
I mean, it needs to be to not wash out, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In April 2022, the Montgomery County Sheriff, that's a county very close to Schoharie County, I think the one where the creek actually was, So the sheriff, Jeffrey Smith, was interviewed about the disaster. At the time, he was an 18-year-old resident of the area and also volunteered in the recovery efforts. He commented on the terrifying nature of the collapse. Quote, "You drive over that bridge, right? We all do, the new bridge. We drive over there all the time. There's not a time that I go over it that I don't think, holy, holy cow, can you imagine the bridge going down?"
No.
End quote.
No.
And that, my friends, is the story of the Schoharie Bridge collapse.
That is, like, just a scary thing. That's, yes, like, that's like stuff of nightmares type of scary. You're going over a fucking bridge and it collapses.
Well, and it's going to happen again. And then
for sure.
And then again.
Yeah.
It will continue to happen. Yeah.
All it costs $150 billion, like, no fucking problem.
Not if you look at our federal budget.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, sorry, like, we don't have a
federal budget. What? What's that?
By the time this episode comes out, we'll see if we're in a partial shutdown or not, but whatever.
But yeah, $150 billion in our federal budget is literally like a drop in the bucket. It is. It's nothing.
We've discussed that. Go back and listen to our U.S. tax system. And it put, go ahead, put it in the defense budget.
Yeah.
Spend it on this, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of defense, yeah.
Well, I mean, just naturally. I mean, a healthy infrastructure mm-hmm. leads to a healthy economy, healthy mm-hmm. literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
plus
if you don't look at countries that don't have a sufficient infrastructure, what,
mm-hmm.
what happens to them?
Mm-hmm.
They become third world countries. I mean,
yes. Also, it puts a lot of people to work,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of what you were saying about the Civil Corps of Engineers sort of idea.
The Civilian Conservation.
Civilian Conservation. The CCC.
Who have done projects around here that we've been to.
Yes.
One of the parks in Cary.
Hanging Rock.
Mm-hmm, and Hanging Rock. And yeah. One of the parks in Cary is a CCC.
Really?
Yes. We went to it like once, but they had a little museum. And it's like, oh, Civilian Conservation. Cool.
Yes, I remember that museum.
But yes, our bridges are quite literally falling apart all yes. over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, like, imagine like thinking, I mean, even from, like, a government standpoint, just imagine mm-hmm. thinking, like, you know, maybe we'll get around to it. it's it's all things. It's safety. It's your
yes.
economy. It's your, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, you're just like,
You can't be blasé about it. You can't
no.
be cavalier about it.
No.
You gotta, this is pressing.
Now, do you need to vet these and
of
stuff?
Course,
of course,
yeah.
You know, because.
You need to do a quality job.
Yes.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's. We had that system in place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what built this whole thing. And yeah, of course mistakes were going to be made here and there. We're talking about, what, 75,000 miles or whatever it was?
Oh,
of,
yeah.
Of road?
47,000.
47,000.
75,000 kilometers.
Eh? So, yeah, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at... Which now is basically like old-timey pictures. They used to have them hanging up in the mall, and
mm-hmm.
there would just be like pictures like, "Oh, this is like Buck Jones Road, and it's like a dirt road,
right. mm-hmm.
and it just ends."
Yeah,
there's nothing mm-hmm. like it's mm-hmm. not connected to anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like once upon a time, like that's what roads looked like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, even like we've been in our neighborhood for 10 years, and stuff's changed.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, at some point, we will travel back to Schoharie.
Oh, will we?
On this pod. Have you ever heard of the Schoharie limo crash?
No.
Your sister has, because she's mentioned it and suggested it for the pod. But
okay.
Yeah, Schoharie, for being a really tiny area,
it is a fucking
has seen
tiny...
two major transportation disasters.
Jeez, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd never heard of either of these.
Mm. Yep.
All right, well, going back to Central New York.
Yeah.
A place that it's pretty, and it's also, man, there's some necks.
Well, interestingly, I was thinking about it because we've definitely been on the thruway together, but I've only been on the thruway from like Buffalo to
from like Central
Syracuse.
To West.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not to
east.
Albany.
No.
And then we went to Lake Placid almost exactly a year ago, we went up through
mm-hmm.
Albany and then up into Lake Placid. But I haven't been in this exact section,
no,
the thruway
been, no.
in the Mohawk Valley.
Nope.
So yeah. It's interesting. But I will say, driving up to Lake Placid, that was a really nice drive. It was very pretty.
Yeah, it is. That part of the state is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, everybody else is like, shut up. So that was the Schoharie Bridge collapse. This has been another episode of All Bad Things. I'm David.
I'm Rachel.
We'll see you next week.